T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bob and I trying to decide which is the bigger story, his 40-year anniversary at KDKA or me finally breaking 100 on
the golf
course.
Clearly, it's you breaking 100. There should be champagne in here. Where is Craig Riley with all the bubbly?
I know.
To celebrate the fact that you have now entered some very rarefied air, my friend, because that makes you one of the top 3% golfers in all of this country.
Did you believe that, Maddie?
Once you break 100, you're there, yes.
Are you serious about that?
Yeah.
Top three.
Tell me more about that.
I mean, you got to keep shaving shots off. Then you'll get lower and lower. It's harder to get from 3% to 1%, I can tell you that.
Now, are we talking people who play under 100 golf on average, or by simply breaking 100,
no,
I've done something
if
that...
If you do a lot of the research on just scores turned in by any golfer, anywhere,
yeah.
You're up there in that range now, so that's good.
Ballsy!
Look at you!
Now, if you look at different, you know, like country clubs... You don't have a gin handicap, do you? It's for the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association. You put in your scores every day. You could do it online with an app, and it keeps your accurate handicap.
No, I'm too tired for that.
Okay, well, if you do it that way, then you're still not there. But if you do it just generally, you are. So you're making progress. That's the most important thing. I understand you had your first birdie as well.
With Jim Fish at,
so you played with
at
Fish.
Diamond Run.
Tell
I
us about it, because I know Cook was saying he lined that up for you. He took credit for the invitation.
He did. He got credit.
He met
Jim in Marco Island, and then there was a man named Bob, whose last name I don't know how to pronounce. I was just telling you about him, Serjanic, I think, who shot a 30 on the front nine at Diamond Run. It was like I was playing with Jack Nicklaus. It was unbelievable, Bob.
That's a good golfer. If you shoot 30 anywhere on a front nine of anywhere, it's a good score.
On
I don't
number
care if
eight.
You're playing Scallies. I don't care if you're playing.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
It was crazy. It was like Johnny Miller, with the 62 19, open?
Yeah,
when did he shoot a 63?
63 at Oakmont, 72, I think it was.
72.
Yeah.
See, I knew that one off the top of my head, Bob. I don't feel well. I've overdosed on some form of coffee at this place in Mount Lebanon. It had the opposite effect of making me happier. I'm more anxious and probably defensive and sad, but happy that I did this. It was number eight at Diamond Run. I used a 7-iron. It was a slope, a direct drop green where if you put it too far to the left of the flag, you're below sea level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have a chance for a birdie.
That's the hole that has a little valley in the middle of the green, right?
Exactly.
Where was the flag? On the top end?
On the right end of the valley.
Oh, that's tough.
So you have to put it right to the left. The savvy old news hound stepped up with a 7-iron. He hit it perfectly to where it just dropped. And it was maybe 8 feet from the hole to the left. Bob, the guy I just mentioned, unbeknownst to me, had a video going. And I stepped up, second shot, birdie at Diamond Run. Bob.
Boom.
It was
the
incredible.
First birdie. What was your immediate reaction?
My immediate reaction, I'll show you the video in a minute here, was to raise a fist and say, you know.
Hell yeah, or something of
something
that,
of that nature. No, I don't think I swore, actually. I just said, yes.
And it's one of those moments.
And they celebrated. But my second immediate reaction was on number nine to crank a drive directly to my left off a tree. There's apparently some saying for post-birdie mess up with different words. Is that a saying in golf? They told me it was.
I'm not aware of it if it is.
Post-birdie something something that it's some sort of syndrome after you get a birdie. So I shot an 11 on the next hole.
That's straight downhill. All you have to do is put it in play, and you should be okay, but you didn't put it in play.
Three times in a row, I didn't put it in
play. Well, see, that's what you have to erase those holes from your score. If you do and don't three putt, you'll improve even better. And by the time you're done, you'll be in the top 1%.
Yes, I will, Bob. But more importantly, Ron's not here today. You're in his seat.
And later, I'm going to put my feet up at his desk because I know how he
like
loves
that.
And so, you know, now that we have our live stream going, I'll make sure people see where my foot is.
Have you said hello to Folsy?
I didn't say hello to Folsy because Folsy, you know, kind of alienated me. He picked sides and I wasn't on his team last week.
I forgot about that last
week.
So until that changes, I mean, we're going to have this ice cold relationship where I stare at him down in the window and he stares me down back.
This is what happens when you take on power, Folsy.
We're going right there, right away, I
you
guess.
You spoke truth to power last Monday.
First of all, it's Coltsy. Let's get that straight. This Folsy stuff is a little bit over the top.
Speaking of that, an unbelievable development this weekend related to golf. I met somebody on a course, and she works at a stable. I'm like, wait a second. You work at a stable? Told her the story of Folsy. We're in early talks of if he keeps that, although Coltsy would work too. But if he keeps one of those two nicknames, he may have an endorsement for pony rides.
Would you like that?
About that.
How about that?
How about that?
We'd love that.
What would the song be like for that, Folsy? Well, we need a little jingle.
Didn't we already break out the Western theme? I have to go find that.
We did. Oh, yeah. You find what the commercial would look like, yeah. And we'll run it by Bob because he's a television connoisseur.
That's right. It's a trained ear.
More importantly than any developments with you or I, there's Bob's 40th anniversary. And I want to congratulate you on that, Bob. That is awesome. I can't believe when I came to Pittsburgh, it was November of 89. So you were how many years into your
career?
7 years
into it. Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's I'm proud of that. I'm just proud of the fact that I've been able to do it and people have been willing to listen.
What day was it?
It was actually July 2nd. It's coming up of 1982. So,
but you celebrated on air this past week?
I didn't. They did a story on Fan Nation to show they have.
Okay,
Rich
that's
and
what
Daisy,
I saw.
Do it, and Tom Schneider was kind enough to come to my house, and they have another one planned coming up on July the 9th. So that'll kind of be a look back at memory lane with some of the stuff, which is fun. And there have been some really cool moments in there, so I'm excited about that, and I'm very thankful.
Tell us about some of those, if you wouldn't mind, Bob.
Well, my favorite, I have a lot of favorites.
Favorite moment.
I had a stare down with James Harrison in the locker room when we were allowed in there, and they have this WCW championship belt or WWE championship belt.
For fun, or was he angry?
No, it was for fun. I didn't know at the time that he was the best non-blinker. In other words, stare down, nose to nose, nobody blinks.
This side of Brooks Orpik, anyway, yeah.
Well, Brooks would win a lot if he entered. Anyway, so we were in there, and I saw this happening, and I just conveniently said, wow, that's interesting. I didn't think you were good enough to do that. I'm just kidding around, whatever. And he stares me down, and he announces into the entire Steeler locker, Bobby Annie challenged me to get over here as a rookie. And I'm saying, oh, no, I didn't know. I just was commenting. I didn't mean for it to. So anyway, he drags me into this. And, you know, we have video of how long I could last without blinking against the NFL Defensive Player of the Year at the time. And I'm looking into his eyes, just thinking what it would be like to have him tackle me. And I was getting a little nervous that he might do that if I beat him. So I decided, no, I lasted like 29 seconds, which is a lot. But he went as much as a minute plus just without blinking. Yeah. So that was something. We'll show you that video. It's pretty interesting. But I mean,
were people cheering for you and him, media for you, players for
him? No, they were offering commentary. The players started to gather around. And I made the mistake. I didn't know this. Like, when you do these things, I had never done it. I was, like, wide-eyed. And the farther, if you open your eyes too wide, it puts too much pressure on your lids. So you have to, like, squint almost to prevent blinking.
Now I'm trying both of those things.
So,
and so is Foles. So is everybody in their car
now
trying those things. I can't tell when I blink, I just realized.
I was going to say we should have a blink-off, but that wouldn't really, you know,
wouldn't
go
lend
over
itself
well on the radio.
To the medium. No, but we should during the break. Folsy, will you come in here and monitor a Bob and I stare down? Will you?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, let's do that in the first break.
Okay.
I don't feel well. Did you find the stable
Well, if you
thing?
Don't feel bad, I'm not going to get nose to nose with you then and do this and find out later you have something that I contracted.
I might. No, I mean, I just don't feel well. I'm anxious right now. Folsy, did you find the stable commercial?
I think I found it. Let me see. I haven't played the actual
audio
to this.
Here it is, Bob. See if this would work for you. If you were a connoisseur, pretend you're a producer of the commercial.
Okay.
And then pretend you're a regular watcher or listener to the show, and Folsy was endorsing a stable, Okay.
This might just be the background. This might not actually be the commercial, but let's try it.
Okay.
Good start. Good start.
Okay, there's no audio so far.
No. Yeah.
Here we go, Bob. Great music.
Yeah, it's just the background of
it. I love it.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Matt Cole, better known as Folesy. I started as a fool. Now I'm a colt, and you can be one too. But first, ride your first pony with me. Come over to Coltsy Land, and we'll get you started in your ride into infamy.
That's a 40-year vet right there making
that
spot up.
That's incredible, Bob. Just tape that one. You know what we'll do later? Tape that off. We'll put that against the one that you recorded with my script, right? You'll find it, right, by the end of the
show?
Yeah, I should
be able to.
And we'll let the listeners decide which one's better.
So there was an actual commercial you did?
There was, yeah.
I thought
set to that
around.
Music.
I didn't know that.
It's a great beginning, isn't there?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't even speak properly. It's a great beginning, isn't there? What the hell? Bob, something's gone
Monday,
horribly
Joe.
Wrong.
It's a Monday. It takes time to get into midweek form.
Do you miss Ron?
Yes.
In what ways? Can you delve into that a little bit?
I just like the exchange, the back and forth.
The dynamic.
The dynamic, yes. Mm-hmm. Where is he, by the way?
I think he's doing a staycation.
Is he?
First beer cracked, over under 10:14. It's 10:15.
Oh, he gets up and walks at 5. I guarantee you by 9, it feels like 5 in the afternoon. So by 8, he would have his first beer.
The 8 a.m. beer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had one? I'm more of a Bloody Mary kind of.
Have I ever had one?
Not at 8 a.m. Do you do that at 8 a.m.? I don't.
Back in college, yes. The Sunday morning.
Okay.
Leftover keg beer, of course.
Okay. I wasn't referring to college. Now.
No, not
real
now.
Life.
Folesy, did they do that at Waynesburg?
I guess occasionally.
Keg party?
Yeah. There were keg parties.
Interesting.
Keg parties everywhere, right? What college doesn't have a keg party?
So they still have keg parties these days. They haven't replaced the old kegger, have they, Bob? They still crank it up, Folesy? They did that at Waynesburg?
They did.
The ritual of the tap and everything else?
Yeah. It wasn't every party, but every once in a while there'd be, kegs there.
Sure. So as things advance technologically, Bob, as we move into another age, the blessed keg is still a staple, right?
I would imagine is, but there's got to be more, technological stuff involved with them today, I guess, if you're having it, right?
Yeah, people like you open it with an app or something.
Yeah, something like that.
No, but it's still the same thing.
Hmm.
You roll that baby in there. You have the executive beers for the founders of the keg, the buyers of the keg. And then they also get the leftovers on Sunday morning, right?
I guess. I was big into toga parties. That was our thing back then.
What?
Remember those things? Toga.
Wow.
I do remember them.
We even
I never went to one with togas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
I walked around naked at a few, but never a toga.
You did. Proud. Yeah. You must
That's what
have
they told
a lot
me
of self-confidence.
Anyway.
Oh, you don't remember?
Tell me about a toga party.
You just,
where, at Point Park?
Yes, and other places. But we started.
You travel to toga
parties? We traveled, yes.
How far? Penn State?
It depends. Within a
St. Francis?
Within a three-hour.
Three-hour radius.
Yeah, something like that. Anything beyond that defeats the purpose.
Right.
Now it's become a full-fledged road trip, and I don't want to do that.
So down to West Virginia for a toga party back in the early 70s. Do you bring your toga, or are you dressed in the toga and show up
Well,
there?
You can do either. I dressed in. I figured it's quicker. You can get to the action faster.
Folesy, can you imagine
He's
video?
He's riding his car in his toga.
Can you imagine a young pomp and company driving to West Virginia for a toga party?
You
have
one of those headpieces, too, made of thorns and everything.
Yeah,
why not?
Did you have any, roommates or friends there in college that went on to have successful, careers in media like you? Or no?
First of all, Mike DeCourcy is a Point Park guy, and I always looked at Mike to be one of the best in the business at the Sporting News. He still is. So I've always kind of tried to be like Mike in many ways,
Wait a second. You said he was a toga guy?
No.
He was just a Point Park guy.
Just a Point Park guy.
Oh, a Point Park
guy. I don't think Mike toga'd. If he did, I didn't know about it.
I don't have him pegged as the toga type.
He doesn't strike me as a toga type. But then again, neither was I, to be honest. But I was willing to see what it was like once.
Yeah.
Or twice or 10 times, depending on whatever was necessary. But,
sure.
Yeah.
I think later in the show, Folsy, you and I will have the listen to all the things we have planned now. We have a stare off coming up in this commercial break, correct?
Yes.
We're going to have a face off with your commercial where you voice it against Bob's. We'll decide on that. And I think later in the show, you and I will conduct a formal interview with Bob about his 40-year career. We've already learned of maybe his top moment.
You don't need to go that far. There's a lot to talk about without that.
No. Later on, Folsy and I will formally interview Bob. Are you up for that?
I like that.
Let's do that. Coming up next, a Stanley Cup was won last night. We'll talk about how the Avalanche won it, their place in history, and where that leaves the rest of them, including the Penguins. I've got a list of free agents here, Bob.
Oh, big money.
And I'm going to ask you about some of these guys, and we're going to talk about the Penguins' immediate future and how close they could be, or not close, to winning one of these things again in the Sidney Crosby era. We'll do that coming up. Folsy, did you hand me anything like reeds or anything? Did you?
Yes, I believe I did.
Yeah, that's what's in my hand. I crumpled them up. 10 o'clock. Ah, here it is.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bob, did you see where the Yankees have had 40 home games and 10 of those have been walk-off wins? Are you kidding me? Has that ever happened? Where one out of every
one out
four
of four
wins?
That's pretty good. And Aaron Judge has been out of his mind, totally out of his mind. And yet, all this is going on with the Red Sox, or 20 games over 500 in their last 45, I think. So I mean,
and the Rays aren't bad.
The Rays aren't bad either. That whole division every year is very, very heavy in talent.
You just read an NIL deal that got my attention. Can you tell everybody what that was?
Yeah, this is Warren Sharp, Sharp Football, does a good job following a lot of things. And so he mentioned this. Jaden Rashada from the Miami Hurricanes apparently agreed to an NIL deal for $9.5 million. Apparently, he also turned down one from the Florida Gators that was worth a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So to put that in perspective, if you look at NFL quarterback salaries right now, it's better than Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Zach Wilson, Kyler Murray. It's up there in Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence range right off the bat. So Give me 5 years of college, baby.
Or one. What do you make of that? I don't have a problem with any of this. I love that it's making the coaches across America squirm. And I think it doesn't really – see, a lot of people are fearful that it'll just make the rich richer. Well, in college football, for example, how much richer can they get? To me, it actually gives other teams a chance to jump in there, like Texas A&M. Ask Nick Saban about that.
Right. That's well, Texas A&M is doing exactly what they should do because it's now available to them. And so Jimbo Fisher has decided to, you know, play the game better maybe than Saban, or Saban needs to play it better than him now. And Saban doesn't like the fact that all of a sudden he doesn't have the number one recruiting class in college football. But to your point, though, I still think it makes the rich richer largely because they still have the fan bases that go gaga over these, you know, and now Miami. Miami has a lot of money down there, you know, and all of a sudden they can get back in the game. To your point, they haven't been among the richest in terms of talent and in terms of success. Now, with stuff like this, potentially they will.
Do you think there should be any cap on what you can pay?
Yeah, I think they
should
have had boundaries from the beginning. They didn't. It seemed like it just happened. And they were so fast to make it happen, people were anxious to get to it, that they forgot that there should be some sort of system in place so that...
How could they not have realized, like my first question, we had a guy on, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, who specializes in brokering these deals for student athletes. And one of my first questions to him was, are we going to see the LeBron James of basketball or football come out and get paid $30 million a year? He said, of course that's possible, yes. It seems like people are being taken... by surprise by the deals that you just mentioned. My question would be, how could you not see this coming? And I don't really care if they have restraints or not. I don't care.
Well, here's a problem that could develop, and that is when you have guys making that much money on the team and others who are still eligible for NIL deals, but they don't get hardly any.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you have, you know, some finger pointing. These are still kids, by the way, and they're still learning about themselves, 18 years old, whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, the quarterback's getting $9.5 million, and I'm blocking for you, and I get diddly squat. You know?
My answer to that would be that there was already money being paid to a lot of these guys, and already most of the money was going to those positions anyway, and everybody in the locker room knew about it. And my other take on that would be that's life. Like, even if they're not getting paid,
the quarterbacks...
But you
can see where that could maybe be a problem. You know,
but wouldn't it already be? Star players get all the accolades.
But how much the money,
20 years
the
ago,
money
you're
is
on the,
coming from the boosters, correct?
Right. Yes.
How much booster money is there?
Endless. Because, well, no, when you say boosters, there's also now, I forget what they call them, collectives or something like that, where fans pay into a, quote, collective that then goes toward funding
That's
players.
Crazy.
The problem that I see is more fan venom toward players, because now you can literally say, I'm paying your salary, perform. But you know what? That's pro sports, and that's what college sports
yeah,
is anyway.
I mean, it is pretty much. I just see there are going to be some future problems they're going to have to figure out. And I think ultimately this will reach a point where it has to level off. I mean, you can't just throw in numbers. I mean, when you think about it, this kid is going to be making more than some better names than the young quarterbacks in the game right now.
Yes.
So... to me,
which is enticement for guys to stay in school.
That's
too.
What I'm saying. 5 years, bring it on. If you're going to keep doing that.
Who's the kid from Gonzaga? Timmy?
Yes.
The basketball player? There was talk around him, like, will he go to the NBA or can he do better in college right away if he falls in the draft? You can definitely ask that question in football.
Right. Well, a guy like Chet Holmgren, his teammate, he was number two in the draft this year, so he'll make good money. But you're right. Some of those guys could make better numbers if they stay in college for an extra year.
Bob,
very wild.
Bob, the Blinkoff is now on video. You and I had a stare down.
No.
You just celebrated your 40th anniversary at KDK. You said one of your fondest memories was your stare down with James Harrison for fun in the locker room. He won at 20, or did you win?
He won.
He won
he
at 29 seconds. So I challenged you to this. Our friend Jonathan put it on video, and the fan has tweeted this out. You want to tell people who won the stare down, Bob?
You won the stare down, Joe. Yes. Mostly because I started laughing. I couldn't help looking at your hat and I could not stop laughing internally. And if you ever saw one of those tortilla challenges on TikTok, which you probably haven't, you load your mouth with water and you hit each other with soft taco shells and see who spits it out first. Well, I was very close to spitting on you, Joe. And,
I know.
And you as a germaphobe would not have liked that because I kept looking at you. I couldn't hold back my laughter.
This was a big win for me, Bob. I'm looking at the video right now. And my technique is flawless here. I went with, who's the one actor with the giant eyes? Was it Gene Wilder? No, it was Marty Feldman.
Oh, Feldman.
Marty
yeah.
Feldman.
But the strategy
I
is
went
you
Marty
can't,
Feldman
if
on
you,
you.
If you have big eyes, you're in problem range because the lids get heavier. And I'm just watching it now myself. So
it's tremendous, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll see. But you won. You
so could have
gone.
I
think you could have
really
gone on.
Yeah.
I don't know how long. I didn't go very long. I didn't last long, which is my problem these days anyway. So, I mean, bottom line is.
Well, there's medication for both of these things, Bob.
We run commercials for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Phil Bork once had a commercial for that on the station, I believe.
You had this look on your face that I couldn't help but not laugh. And I was starting to laugh, and it just threw me all off. So
it's a big win for me. We can go 2 out of 3 if you'd like.
No, I think you've proven your point.
We need to talk Penguins next and Jack Johnson winning a cup. Are you kidding me? Let's talk about all things hockey next. We have some Mike Tomlin talk at the top of the hour. This is all happening on Cook and Joe. Ron on vacation this week. Bob literally sitting in Ron's seat. What did you just say, Bob?
I was just reading something from Ian Smith, one of our great photographers at KDK-TV, and I guess they're having some problems with the Pittsburgh regional transit. They suspended the T because of a loss of all controls and functions. So that's not good.
No, that sounds very not good. And it reminds me of yesterday when I broke 100 out at Westwood. I almost got in a golf cart accident. My golf cart, I was driving too fast and there was a steep hill.
They don't have a governor on them?
A governor?
Yeah, it slows it automatically, so you don't have to worry.
Maybe they do. I don't know.
No, if a governor would have kicked in, you would have slowed yourself automatically.
I was flying down a hill on the golf cart and started to veer out of control to the left, which would have put me in like a patch of brush.
Where's the video like on that one?
At a high level of speed.
You so see with, those golf this, cart things on Twitter all the time.
All this yeah. with a sharp pencil in between my index finger and middle finger on my right hand, I did all this. So one-handed driving, more or less. Then I veered to the right to where the little stakes with the string is.
Oh, jeez.
That keeps you, you know, in bounds.
You could have been in big trouble.
It was scary. And somehow I made it. I made it. Well, I made it, Bob, to the next tee.
You need to make it to a governor. Get a card that has a governor.
So have you ever come close to crashing a golf cart?
No, but I have seen people break their arms and legs. Early on in my golf tournament, we had that one happen to us where one of our guests was at Chartiers. There's a little par three that there's, if you veer off to the left, you can, you know, topple the cart, and he did, and he broke his arm, so...
That's the problem.
That was a long time ago. You got to really make sure you're going at a good speed.
Because you take
it
for granted that the golf cart will be able to navigate all these little hills and uneven terrain on the course. But you get one that's a little too uneven, and there you go.
No.
Should I wear a helmet when I golf, Bob?
If you don't have a governor, maybe you should.
All right, let's talk about the Avalanche. They raised the cup. What stood out to you about this run by Colorado?
How elite Cale Makar is, 29 points in 20 games, how elite their whole team is when it comes to playing the brand of hockey that I think Mike Sullivan ultimately did play when they won his team, and how that's had an effect on other teams. I mean, they can just flat out skate, and when they go into puck possession mode in the attack zone, I mean, Tampa, I give Tampa so much credit, Joe, because all, you know,
me too,
playoff long, they had to face adversity. They overcame it in 3 straight rounds. They win game 5 in Colorado, which is a testament to their, you know, resiliency. But this team just is so young, fresh, determined, even without an elite goaltender. And Kemper played well. I'm not going to begrudge him that. But he's not Vasilevsky, which is why I thought Tampa would ultimately win this series. And they just kept bringing it. And especially in the third, what struck me is the third period of the entire series.
Yes.
They got better every game in the third period and into overtime. The overtime game they won in Tampa was ridiculous. It was all one-sided. That's how good they can be and are.
I think to that point, what stood out for me is it was an example of a team that learned how to shut it down because they didn't have that. And I thought of the Penguins under Mike Therrien when Bylsma came in. And I remember Chuck Fletcher, the assistant GM, saying that Bylsma pretty much opened the spigot Well, the Avalanche needed to learn how to close it a little bit. Mm-hmm. They needed to do the opposite. I remember Gretzky early in the playoffs here saying, this team doesn't know how to play deep. You're not going to win the Cup 8-6.
Right, he did.
But they proved they can win 8-6, and then they proved they can win 2-1. They completely shut it down. They only allowed 22 shots in that deciding game. So
it's like
credit
three
to
in
them.
The third period. Tampa was desperate, and I think they only got three shots.
Totally shut it down. Yeah, and that's what won them the Cup, right. Ultimately.
And again, when you don't have – you know, the goaltender who you may, you know, he's a good guy. He proved that he could play in this high-stakes game.
Credit to him, yeah.
But when you make it easier on your goaltender, especially somebody like that, the results will be there. And, boy, they did. And I think they also knew they did not want to get to a Game 7 against that team just for obvious reasons.
Right.
So they really cranked up the urgency meter. And I'm sure Jared Bednar did a very good job in between second and third and told them what was on the line and what you need to do. I'm sure it was like a Herb Brooks speech, you know. You'll take this to your grave. One of those kind of moments. Here it is. Shut the door.
In the end, they have one of the great seasons in the history of the league. Here's the most combined wins, regular season and playoffs, knowing that when you go back to the old days, they're playing some more games. I get that, especially in the playoffs. But regular season and playoffs combined wins, Bob, in the history of the game. Four teams have won 72 games, and the Avalanche is one of them. The last to do it was the Wings in 95-96, the great Oilers team, I think the first Cup team, 83-84, and a great Canadiens team in 76-77. That's elite company
right there. Elite.
And they deserve it. They deserve it.
No question. And, you know, guys like Cale Makar and McKinnon get a lot of the credit. But, man, you got a guy who's your captain in Landeskog, really solid player throughout his career. Rantanen plays on that line. They bring in Kadri eventually. Nichushkin is an underrated player. Lekkonen at the trade deadline. We made a lot about
what
Andrew
a deal
Kopp.
That was.
What a deal that was. And he was a tremendous player for them. Got the game-winning goal last night. So it takes all of that. And if you look back at the Penguins or any team that wins, you got to be healthy. You bring in right pieces to add to the core, and things happen.
They got some breaks. Every championship team does. They didn't have to face Nashville's goalie or St. Louis's goalie. Those are two pretty big breaks, but you know what? They took advantage, and they won both those series. Then they had to beat a generational player in McDavid, who was at his very best, and they swept them. And then they had to beat a team that was going for a dynasty that knows how to win, and they beat them in six. So there's nothing close to an asterisk or anything else with that team. They earned this, and they had one of the greatest seasons of all time, and that brings me to this question. What does everybody else in the league have to learn from this, notably the Penguins? And where are the Penguins compared to Avalanche, Lightning? Will they? Can they? What do they need to do to win another cup or at least get there in the Sidney Crosby era?
Well, number one, they have to get more clutch goal scoring from people other than Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. If you look at the way Colorado and the goal distribution, you'll see goals from a lot of different people, and they have a lot of depth that way. But number two, they also need, you know, I think bigger type of wingers. I think Colorado and Tampa both have those kinds of players that can come in and give you a little physicality up front without losing speed.
Yes.
And I think they need that. But more importantly, they need healthy goaltending and good goaltending. You know, if you're going to win in this league, you got to have that, and they haven't had it for the last two playoff runs. You can make the argument they were the better team last year, should have won against the Rangers and against even the Islanders, but the goaltending failed them. So if you get that with the mindset that puck possession wins games, make sure you don't give up. And that's the other thing. Over the years, the Penguins have given up too many odd man breaks in critical situations. If you looked at the last actually two games, Tampa did it when they had they didn't give up a lot. They made it hard on Colorado. And I think last night, Colorado did the same to them. They were tight, airtight, didn't give up anything. So it's hard to score when you don't get good chances.
Well, the first decisions they have to make are the same ones they had at the end of the season. What are they going to do with Letang and Malkin? Let's talk about that at the top of the hour. They've signed Brian Rust. I was going to say they made him a priority. They did in some ways, but also if the numbers work out, then that person becomes a priority because he can get the deal done. Should they, will they sign both Letang and Malkin or neither? And then where do we go from here? with the Penguins, because there's some really interesting names, including a couple from the Stanley Cup Finals who have a good chance to be out on the open market. Let's talk about some names here and what the Penguins should do. But the first question for them is the same question we were all asking, really, all season, but certainly by the end. Should they sign Gino and Chris Letang? 412-928-9370, because now we're here. Now's the time. The Cup's been decided. Free agency starts in 17, 18 days. Now's the time.
It is. Still stunning to me is that the Flyers passed on Cale Makar in the draft.
Who'd they take that year?
I think they took Nolan Patrick. It hasn't worked out so well.
No, it hasn't worked out so well. Let's talk about that. Top of the
hour. Was that Hextall's pick? I don't even remember. Was he there then when that was happening? I got to check that out.
Check that out during the break, Bob, and we'll talk about that coming up. But really, I want to talk Penguins and where they go, because the franchise in many ways will be shaped for the near future in these next 17, 18 days. 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here, and now's the time to get a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle. You'll find it at Sun Chevy. Today, mostly sunny, not as warm, beautiful day, high of 78. You know, I'm going home tonight, Bob, for my dad's 90th birthday celebration.
Wow. 90, that's awesome. Congratulations, Mr. Starkey.
Very excited about that. But my golf sickness has taken over to the point where my mind is telling me absolutely stop in Erie or somewhere along the line, even just for 9 holes. You might be a little late to the party, the little guy on my right shoulder is saying. What's happened to me? It's my dad's 90th birthday. Yeah,
you don't want, you know, you could put your aside that little guy on your shoulder, swat him away and say, not today.
I'm trying we'll to do that, again. But he keeps talking to me.
When you break 100, though, see things start happening. And
would
then,
you pay?
And then, go ahead, when you get to 90, look out.
I know, and I almost did it the other day. Would you stop and pay for 18 holes and only play 6 and consider that a good day? Is it worth it?
If you're at even par or near there at 6, you want to play more.
I know, that's the problem.
You can't
I
do
can't
this.
Stop.
You can't
don't
do,
let
no,
me
no.
stop.
You
I'm going to call you on the way, and you're going to have to talk me down.
You better not miss your dad's birthday party.
I won't. No. I might be a little late, that's all.
That's even worse.
Not if I shoot par. See, what? That's not me talking, Bob. That's the little guy on the right.
It's like Animal House. You got it one is. On the left shoulder, one
yes.
on the right shoulder.
I can't control what he says. That's all I'm saying. So you can't blame me. I'm not going to.
Your brain is going to be, you know, your brain is delving into the bad area there. That's like the angel and the devil. Don't not
I know.
Go in that
I
direction.
Can't help it.
You
it's
have plenty
like saying,
of time to play golf.
I know. Plenty of time to play golf. Today doesn't matter.
Right.
Even though I broke 100 yesterday and could do better tomorrow.
Can I mention
today.
This real quick?
Please.
So just Cale Makar went 4th overall that year, and the Flyers had the 2nd pick. They took Nolan Patrick, as I said. That was 2017, and I don't know if Hextall was there. I can't remember.
Who was 1-3?
Nico Hischier from New Jersey was Hischier was the number 1 overall pick, and number 3 for Dallas went to Miro Hiskinen.
Well, now there's 3 teams that regret not taking
Makar.
Oh,
my goodness. All these teams, terrible.
All right, Bob. Penguins, top of the hour. It's Cook and Joe and Bob, Ron on vacation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh.